Jack and Bet by Sarah Butler. Read by Margaret Caborn Smith. Jack. Jack Chalmers was a man of few words, married to a woman of many. Hardly unusual, though it would be fair to say they had been married for longer than most. 70 years tomorrow. They were having a party, because Bet had insisted. There were so few people left to invite, but his wife had been adamant, had talked about olives and music and dancing with such excitement he hadn't liked to say no. But tomorrow was tomorrow, and today Jack was doing what he did every morning, walking from the new flat, they had lived there almost 5 years but both still called it new, to Elephant and Castle Shopping Centre. It wouldn't exist for much longer, that's what people said. They had been promising to knock it down for years, but there it still was, with its blue paint cracked and stained, a line of gold-tinted windows around its upper edge, the long curved ramp leading to red-framed doors, and inside, floor tiles flecked white and orange, grey and black, the air still and bright. Wires looped from wooden carts up to plug sockets on the orange pillars. Stall holders heaped their wares, handbags, African headscarves, plastic-wrapped duvets, onto flimsy tables. The fake plants hanging from the pillars in their silver cornet-shaped pots looked like they needed a water. It seemed to him that every day he got a little bit slower, a little bit less stable. He would stop, often, leaning his weight onto his stick, breathing carefully. There were people who brushed past, their shoulders or bags knocking against him, tutting or swearing under their breath. London was such a rush-about city. Everyone would be happier if he stayed at home. But he had his health to think about. Men died before women, he had read the statistics, and he wasn't about to leave Bet on her own. Every day he walked the same route, along Amelia Street, under the railway bridge to the Woolworth Road. Left to the crossing, where he waited for the green man, who hardly gave him enough time to get from one side to the other. The red brick building opposite had a blue sign, Sexual Health Clinic. Bet would laugh if he told her, but it took him a little by surprise each time he saw it. The library and the museum next door had their arched windows boarded up. He remembered the scream of fire engines and the harsh, sour smell which had reached all the way to their flat. They said it would reopen the same as before, but too many promises had been broken around there already for anyone to be convinced. It was the walk from the library to the shopping centre that was the most difficult, passing along the edge of their old estate. It had almost gone, just sky and a distant view where there used to be blocks of flats. Now the Shard stabbed up from the horizon. Sometimes it caught the sun, turning silver or copper or gold. Sometimes it was half hidden by clouds. He didn't like it, but it was easier to look at than piles of rubble behind metal fences. Like a bomb site. All those walls and windows and roofs broken into pieces, and the bulldozers still going, scraping away at what was left with their sharp teeth. Jack's hearing was not what it used to be, but even for him the sound was too much. Easier to look at the Shard than the stretches of hoardings with their pictures of trees and promises of a brighter future. He was too old to be getting angry about such things. That's what his son, Tommy, said. And there was nothing people like them could do in the face of all that money. Things changed, moved on. He should know that by now. There were other routes he could take, down Penton Place and along Newington Butts, past the French restaurant where the party would be the following night, past St. Mary's Churchyard and the old leisure centre. And yet this was the way he walked. He wouldn't stop visiting a friend because he was ill, he told himself. Someone had to pay attention. They knew him at the shopping centre. The African man in the mobile phone booth raised a hand as he passed. The Indian man at the stand where he bought the paper asked after his family. And they knew him at the sundial. He went in every day for a coffee, white, two sugars. The cafe was busy. A queue at the till, someone shouting in the kitchen. The woman serving looked tired and harassed. Jack ordered his coffee. When he turned from the counter, he saw that the table he usually took in the far corner was occupied by two builders in boots and fluorescent jackets. In fact, now he looked, he saw that there were no tables free, just a couple of tall stools at the thin shelf that ran the length of the back window.